The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Today we begin a brand new message series for Lent, and we're calling it Needy. Spirituality 101 tells us this: there is a God, and it's not you. There is a creator, and we are the created. God is completely self-sufficient in himself. God does not need anything. Since we are created, that means we are dependent and we need everything. We have needs that we must attend to if we are to thrive and survive. Our whole being, by its very nature, is one vast need. Think about all the needs that you have, and they are many. In your physical needs alone, you have a need for food and nutrition, a need for water, a need for sleep, which I didn't get last night, a need for shelter, a need for clothes, a need for medical treatment, a need for oxygen. And on top of that, you often need money to pay for all those physical needs. Then there are your emotional needs. You have a need to be understood, a need for acceptance, a need to be loved. You need meaning and purpose in your life, a need to work. You need to laugh, and at times you even need to grieve. You have a need for discipline, a need for silence and solitude. And on top of those needs, you have spiritual needs. You have a need for God. You have a need for people. You have a need for healing. You have a need for prayer. Some people don't think they do, but we all do. So, to sum it up, you are needy. Very needy. God has created us with needs. He passes on the responsibility to us to recognize our needs and to care for them. Your ability to acknowledge and care for your needs outweighs almost every other responsibility in your life. On the surface, that may sound very selfish. However, the point is not to be selfish, but to have more to give to others. Because the healthier you are, the more you have to give away. Think about the instructions that they give on an airplane. You know, the ones that we all tune out as soon as they start talking? Here's what they say. That should there be an emergency, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling, and that people traveling with children should put their own mask on first and then put the mask on their children. Why? Well, because if you pass out from lack of oxygen, both you and your child will be without air. Then, if that happens, someone else will have to take care of you. If you don't care for your needs, and I don't care for my needs, which a lot of times I don't, then eventually we become someone else's responsibility. And I can tell you, when I don't care for my needs, my staff has to take care of me. If you don't care, right, Cindy? If we don't care for our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health, eventually we become someone else's problem. Our lack of self-care will inflict damage on the people around us. However, if you care for yourself, you will be able to care for others. Caring for your own needs is preparation for caring and serving others. Recognizing and caring for your own needs is also essential if you are to be a leader of any kind, or if anyone is looking up to you as a role model. Here's an important statement. 50% of leadership is self-leadership. If you cannot lead yourself and provide for your needs, then you can't really lead other people and provide for them. That means that if you are a parent, you cannot prepare your kids for adulthood if you are not acting like a responsible adult, caring for yourself. I heard a kid laugh over there. I don't know what that means based on what I just said, but I'm just saying. If you are a manager, or you run a small business, or a large corporation, the best way to lead your people is to lead yourself, physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. You are the instrument that leads your kids, your employees, your company, and if you don't care for yourself, you eventually render yourself useless. Only you can discipline yourself to care for your heart, your soul, and your emotional well-being. Listen to those three, because here's what Jesus said. One time when a teacher of the law asked him what was the greatest commandment, he responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus teaches that the ability to love others rests first and foremost on our love and care for ourselves. Spiritual maturity, growing as a follower of Christ, requires us to acknowledge our needs and take responsibility for them in a healthy manner. Our very neediness also makes us vulnerable to spiritual attack. We are tempted over and over again to mishandle our needs. Essentially, there are four temptations that we face when it comes to our needs. The first temptation that we face is to deny a legitimate need and act like we don't have it. This was the temptation that Adam and Eve faced. God told Adam and Eve that they could eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Eve tells the devil that they will die if they eat the fruit, the devil responded, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The temptation is to be like a God who does not have to be dependent on God. A part of us rebels at the reality of having needs and being dependent. I don't want to have anybody else, you know, tell me what to do. You know, we're allowing anybody else. I want to take care of myself. So our pride doesn't like to admit that we have needs. Now, we don't deny all our needs all the time, but we do have a tendency to deny some of our needs. Haven't you had times when you knew very clearly in your heart of hearts that you needed rest, or you needed help from someone else, or you needed to go to the doctor, but out of stubbornness, you didn't meet that need? I see a show of hands. I'm putting up two hands. And it wasn't until the pain or the problem got so great that you finally said, "All right, fine, now I gotta take care of myself." And we get pushed to that last edge before we're finally willing to take care of ourselves. You may be tempted to deny your need for friendship, or your need for help from others. You may be tempted to deny your need for rest, or your need to work and be productive. All of us struggle to embrace and accept our need for God. Even when we believe in God, we fight the fact that we need God. When we deny one of our legitimate needs, we are not moving forward in the spiritual, our spiritual health, but rather away from it. Just as it is a symptom of unhealth when a person loses their appetite and does not want to eat, it is a symptom of spiritual unhealthiness when we do not accept one of our legitimate spiritual needs. So the first temptation that we face is to deny a legitimate need exists. The next three basic temptations, the last three of the four, come from the life of Jesus. Now, from today's gospel, Mark tells us very little about the temptations that Jesus faced. The passage from Mark says this: "The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Matthew's gospel gives a greater detail about Jesus' temptations. Jesus was hungry, so the devil said to him, and that's basically the first of all needs, physical needs, hunger. So Jesus was hungry, and that's the most fundamental need that we fight. We can't even address our other needs unless we have been fed. So the devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus has a legitimate need because of his hunger. The temptation of the devil was to meet that need, but in an illegitimate way. So, the second temptation we face with our legitimate needs is to meet them in an illegitimate way. We will be tempted from time to time to do something we know is wrong in order to meet a real need. For example, we have a legitimate need to work to earn a living. But if you're out of work, you might lie on your resume in order to get an interview. Or you might lie about your capabilities so that you get hired. That's meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. It's taking a moral shortcut to get something that we know that we need. The third temptation that we face is what I would call shadow needs. Matthew tells us, "Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" This was a temptation for Jesus because it was a shadow of his real mission. Jesus has been given the mission to bring people into relationship with his heavenly Father. As part of his mission, to prove his authority, he performed miracles. The miracles showed people that he had really been sent from God. They showed his ability to speak with authority. But the devil tempted Jesus to jump off the parapet or the pinnacle so that he could show off his power apart from his mission, making it more about his own vanity. Jesus had come so that people would follow him and put their faith in him. The temptation of the devil was to chase a shadow of simply getting people to follow him because of a fabulous sign, something really extraordinary, rather than people following Jesus because they loved him and they freely decided to follow him. Jesus was tempted to manipulate people rather than really lead them. With our needs, we are often tempted to settle for what is a shadow of the real and legitimate need. For instance, a young woman might stay with a guy that has proven that he has no interest in a relationship with her, but because of her need for real intimacy, she follows the shadow need. And so she will stay with him. We have a need for rest. But so often people use their vacation time to do things that really don't bring rest to their souls. Guilty as charged. They say afterwards, and I can't tell you how many times I've said this, and I know many of you have too, I need a vacation from my vacation. There you go, so you're guilty. You have a need for healing and relief from pain. But instead of turning to get real healing, you turn to things that can numb the pain instead. And you self-medicate rather than find the real healing. It's like fast food for the soul. Even though you know it doesn't really provide any nutrition or health to your body, at least it fills your stomach for a while. And this is what we do with our needs. And finally, we are tempted to turn our needs into gods, to make them the whole of our lives. This was the final temptation that Jesus faced. Matthew writes, "Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence, and said to him, 'All these I shall give you if you would prostrate yourself before me.'" Jesus had come to have authority over all the kingdoms of the world. The devil tells Jesus that he can have all that he came to accomplish if he will just bow down for one moment, if he would treat the devil as if he were God. Our needs scream to us in the same way. They invite us to make them into gods, to pursue them at all costs. We turn to one person and expect him or her to meet all our needs in a relationship. So we make that person a god. Some people make money their god. We do need money in this world, don't get me wrong. But some people make that the center of their existence. Every addict, as another example, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be, revolve their entire lives around the object of their addiction. So, again, summarily, we all have needs. Ultimately, our neediness will either work for us or against us in our relationship with God. Our Heavenly Father intends that our neediness will drive us to Him and strengthen our bond with Him. So over the next few weeks, we are going to look at some of our needs. I encourage you to commit to this series and bring your friends so you can better meet your own needs. Between now and next week, let me give you a few questions to ponder. Examine your life, your pace of life, and how you are caring for yourself. Ask yourself, if I saw someone I loved meeting his or her needs, or not meeting his or her needs in the same way that I am doing it, would I be concerned? Do you want the people who follow you, whether it's your kids or your employees at work or your students in the classroom, do you want them to meet their needs in the same way that you are? Because you are a role model. Knowing your needs and taking the time to meet them is not selfish. I know sometimes, especially for a workaholic, we feel guilty when we take care of our own needs. It's living in the reality that we are creatures, we are created beings, and it's absolutely vital to our spiritual health to meet our needs if we are to be the men and women that God has created us to be. More next week.